All right. Welcome back. So to the second hour of Living the Good Life. And Cindy, you send prayer requests, and Megan, you do too. And your mother, Megan, Betty, who's one of our radio team members, she and Pastor Jim are the ones who send out the prayer requests to the team, and also the prayer that they write so that we read that prayer and we're all agreeing on the same thing. Why is that important, Megan? And then, Cindy, I want you to talk about that because you've used the prayer line a lot too, Cindy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Megan.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, there's power in prayer. And, you know, it's quoted in Scripture, where two or three or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And wow. No matter what the prayer request is, nothing is too big or too small for the Lord to handle. And when you send a prayer in, it all goes out to everybody on the prayer team, and we all pray in unity.
Yes.
And we see miracles every single day.
We do.
Every single day.
Every single day. Yes. One of our people was very ill with blood clots in his legs that were extremely serious. He is now out of danger. He's now walking around. He'll be going back to work soon. And that was a very serious situation just a few weeks ago. But prayer is mm-hmm. the key. So talk to us, Cindy.
Well, and I think also, obviously you can pray yourself. You don't
sure.
have to have a group.
Right.
But there's something about knowing that you have that support.
Right.
It's very comforting to know that it's not just, you're not in this by yourself. You know, you
That's
have
right.
other people that are out there lifting this up. And there's just, God doesn't hear it any differently. It's not like, oh, there's 20 people praying. This must be important.
No, doesn't
that's
matter.
Not it. It's,
right.
I think this, you've heard the saying, there's strength in numbers.
Right.
And I think that's for us.
Sure.
God doesn't need the numbers.
Right.
He hears one person praying just like He hears 300 people praying. But it's for us. It's to know that there are people who care about
Amen.
It enough to pray about it, who love us enough to pray about it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times just I don't deal with the public at my job, but I do deal with our customer service, our internal people. And, you know, things happen, and it's like, I'll just say, hey, you know, well, I'll pray about that for you.
Right.
And they're always like, oh, thank you. Yes, please. Even people that I know are not believers. You know, I've had people who were just so opposite of believers.
Right.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I think it means that you care.
Well, when people, care. Exactly, and when people's back's up against the wall, they want to know that people are praying for them. I'm like you, Cindy. I've seen it happen time and time again. People, I know, I don't believe in that stuff. And then when they're going through a rough time, then they're going, hey, do you still have that prayer thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure do. Yeah. Would you like prayer? Yeah. Yeah. I think I need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, so prayer works, and that's what we're talking about in this series. And it's so important that we take that time to pray. Let me also mention that our Thursday night on this same station, 6:06 p.m., Dr. Angel and I have a show called Go Yard, which is all about learning to hit a home run in life, which is life coaching. It is counseling. Megan, you listen a lot. Do you want to give a little... 1 minute promo for that show?
Sure, I can. You know, you and Dr. Angel get on there, and it's you guys really touch base, especially like right now, on situations that people are dealing with at home, you know, with depression and having a positive outlook on life. But it's you take circumstances that we all deal with, and you guys give excellent, excellent advice. And people can text in, they can call in, it's interactive.
Right, yes.
And, you know, and they can specifically call in for their needs or if they have a question. It just makes it a wonderful show. You guys always do a wonderful job.
Thank you, Meg. And this week we are still talking about the effects of COVID. But this week we're going to talk and major on how this is affecting children. So you're going to want to listen to this if you have kids, grandkids, or you know a child. how this is affecting them. Speaking of that, Cindy, you have a grandbaby coming soon. I do too. How is your daughter?
They put her on insulin.
Okay.
She was diagnosed with gestational diabetes.
Yeah, I had a daughter-in-law that had that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The medication was not controlling it, so she's taking diabetes.
Okay.
Taking the insulin. Her baby showers in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Which is great. None of her family's going to get to be there except her dad.
Oh, wow.
Because he just lives a few hours away, but the rest of us live
too far away. Yeah.
Me the furthest away.
Yeah, sure.
When's
your grandbaby due? When's your grandbaby due?
October 15th.
And is it a boy or girl?
It's a little girl. Her name is Lily Catherine.
I love it.
Yeah. Lily was my great-grandmother's name on my mom's side, and Catherine was my grandmother's name on my dad's side.
All right. Congratulations. Yeah. We'll be praying for
Thank you.
And that she will continue to get stronger. My granddaughter, Rylan, is having her third because she has the twins that are 7.
Obvious.
And a little baby boy is coming November 15th. So you've got October 15th. I've got about November 15th. That's my 14th grandchild coming. So I have you beat just a little bit there, Cindy. So does that reflect?
Just a tad.
I don't know if it reflects my age or does it reflect how old I am. I don't know.
The number of kids you have, maybe.
Yeah, but there's only 3. So people say, how many kids do you have? Do you have 10? And I'll go, no, I got 3.
Yeah.
But they just keep having kids. So anyway, Megan, do you have any comment about any of that craziness?
No, you know what? You're both equally blessed.
We are.
Any child is a blessing. And we just continue to lift Shay up and Rylan both. That these babies are going to be born full term without any problems with the mamas or themselves in Jesus' name.
Amen. So we agree on that. Mm-hmm. And we're starting this second hour with one of my favorites, I Raise a Hallelujah by Bethel Music. Why don't you just do that wherever you are? Why don't you start praising God and raise a hallelujah over your circumstances? We do that right now over Shay and the baby and Rylan and the baby. We raise a hallelujah. Come on, get with it. Do it.
In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. Louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. We'll be right back.
God, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Woo, louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Hallelujah. Mm. What do you think about that, Cindy? Don't you think that's a good idea?
Oh, yeah.
I love that song because, you know, raising a hallelujah is sometimes not easy for people to do in the middle of the storm.
No. It's probably one of the most difficult things we need to do. Because that's in the storm is not when you feel like doing it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I find this is back to Abraham and Isaac here, verse 5 of Genesis 22, if you're just now joining us. Abraham leaves his servants and the donkeys, and he takes Isaac and goes up to worship God. And he says to the servants, we're just going to go worship God. Wait a minute. You're getting ready to lay your son, your only son, the son of promise, on wood, and you're getting ready to tie him down and kill him as a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Megan, we're going down to verse 7. Isaac said to Abraham, my father, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, where's the lamb is what Isaac asks. Mm-hmm. Megan.
Yeah, it's like, Lord, where's this other thing that I'm supposed to sacrifice? Where's this typical sacrificial lamb?
Right.
And, you know, calling upon the Lord is, show me your plan, Father. Show me what I'm supposed to do.
Right. And what's Abraham's response there, Megan? Verse 8.
I don't have the Bible in front of me.
Oh, okay, Abraham says, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for mm-hmm. the burnt offering.
Mm-hmm.
God will take care of it. He's got a plan. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the point we're trying to say here is there's so many times, Cindy, that we think God must not understand what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because we don't understand what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
And so we tend to think of him in human terms. If we don't understand it, then he doesn't. But
exactly, yeah.
He thinks on a whole nother plane, you know, that we can't even imagine or wrap our brains around. So he already knows what's going to happen.
Right.
He's always known what's going to happen. So it's, nothing's a surprise to him. Nothing sneaks up on him.
Did he have a plan here, Cindy? Did God have a plan?
Oh, absolutely.
Did God have a plan when he sent his son Jesus to this earth?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep. What was the plan in both cases? He had a provision, right?
To provide the sacrifice.
Right, to provide the sacrifice. Okay. And at this point in Genesis 22, Abraham assures Isaac, don't worry, God's got this. God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two walked on together. So here Abraham is prophesying, you know what, Isaac, don't worry about it. God's got it. Megan, talk mm-hmm. to us about that.
Yeah, it's that obedience.
Yes.
You know, of him showing his son, the Lord has shown me that he will provide, and I'm going
yes.
to pass that on to you. We're going to stand here in faith and do and wait upon the Lord, because
right.
the Lord will always, always provide.
He will. He will always provide. Exactly. And so, you know, there are those times we have our doubts, right, guys? I mean, we have them.
Of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There are those times that we just like, okay, God, I don't know. Are you sure you got this? Because it sure doesn't feel like you got it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when those...
It does, Pastor. And
yeah, go ahead, Meg.
Oh, sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
It does, Pastor, because, you know, it's those times of waiting that are the worst of the struggle.
Oh, yes.
But it really is, because it can be so long and drawn out. It can be years before
yeah.
you see a provision. I
right.
mean, you know, and it does get tiring. But that's where we need to, you know, praise Him in the storm, because that's where we will get our lift. That's where we will get our energy.
Right.
Is that when, even when the times are the worst, that we praise Him. Even if the words can't come out of your mouth, you just put the music on and sit and just
That's
bask
right.
in His
yes.
presence, because we
yes.
we've got to seek that so that we can survive.
We have to, because as we begin to praise God and worship God, what happens to us, Cindy? And then we'll get to Megan on the same question. What happens when we do that?
We're strengthened. We're encouraged. We grow. We get more positive.
All true.
It's just...
What happens to our faith level when we praise and worship?
Oh, it goes way up. It goes way up. You know, you there's a deep connection between music and God.
Oh, there is. I was talking about that this morning, Cindy. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, because there is.
Well, I've actually read, there's a doctor, her name is Caroline Leaf. And she's a Christian neuroscientist.
Okay.
And she has said that there's actually research that shows when you worship corporately, so a group of people worshiping together, that your heartbeat syncs up.
Interesting.
After just a brief time of worshiping together, your hearts are all beating at the same rate, you know.
And, wow.
I think... Music is the universal language.
It is.
And I think that you can take people from different cultures that don't speak the same languages, and music is something that will draw them to each other. And I think that's obviously by design.
It is.
You know,
it is.
You get into some praise music that really speaks to you, and boy, you start feeling better.
Well, the last 2 weeks, I've gone back to Terry McCallum's music. And, you know, a lot of times I am more in the things like we're playing here today. I listen to that type of contemporary Christian music. But the worship music, and I have been starting my day with these worship albums of Terry's. And you know Terry McCallum, Cindy, because you and I have, you know, we've had soaking sessions where we had his music mm-hmm. on, right?
Uh-huh.
And the album I've been listening to the last few days is one that was recorded live when he was in South Africa ministering. And it's entitled, that album, Everlasting Love. And it has really gotten to me because it doesn't matter. It's a different culture, South Africa versus a band, a group of musicians from the United States. And they're all worshiping together. And they are lifting their voices in praise. And I believe it's going to be this way in heaven, Meg. I believe this is the way it's going mm-hmm. to be. It won't matter if you're standing next to a black person or an oriental person or whatever, because we're all going to be praising God around the throne. Megan, talk to us.
Oh, amen. And you know what? Just the other day, I was telling the kids and mom, I was like, you know what? When we get to heaven, if you can't find me, just understand that I'm going to be in the concert section, because I'm going to tell you right now that you think music is good now, wait till you get to heaven.
Wait till you get to
wait
heaven.
Wait till what it's going to do to you when you get there.
Yeah.
Because you think it increases your heart rate now and makes you full of joy. You're going to be on the ground in heaven,
Woo!
And you're going to be in some kind of like praise coma.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. And I can't wait
to
share in that with everybody around the nation, because it's going to
be
mind-blowing to even think about it.
And relatives that have gone on before us, people we knew. I have a hard time sometimes. This morning service was powerful and got to the end, and we were ministering to a lot of people COVIDly. I mean, not, you know,
mm-hmm.
not face-to-face. I mean, but we were still ministering a lot, and the Lord was moving through prophetic word and through words of knowledge and so forth. And it got to a point where I was gripping the top of the podium because I thought I was going to fall down. And I think that just that's in our natural physical body. Think of what it's going to be like in heaven, Cindy. Woo! Right?
He's got all the best instruments.
all the best instruments, and they're all in tune.
And the best sound system.
Best sound system.
It's got 40 minutes till I'm done.
It's got to be a Bose sound system, don't you think? I mean, it's going to be totally amazing. And you know what? Worship brings us right into the throne room. Talk about that, Megan.
It does, Pastor. It immediately unifies us with our Father, because just like we just talked a little bit ago, He inhabits the praises of His people.
Amen.
And as soon as we lift our voice, there He is. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. And in our darkest and deepest times, when we're hurting the most, that's where we need to learn that we need to praise.
Yes.
Because, again, we talked about what it does to us, what it does to our spirits, and how it uplifts us.
Right. And so let's go back to Abraham and Isaac, because I think they were worshiping. We know they were. It says right here they were worshiping. Because Abraham said to the servants, stay here. The young man and I are going over there to worship. So I believe this is what was going on, guys, as they began to get to that place where now they're laying wood. Now they're putting fire. They got the fire pot. Now they are. And Abraham says, don't worry. God will provide for Himself a lamb for the burnt offering. They came to the place of where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his Isaac, his son. I'm in verse 9 of Genesis 22. He placed Isaac on the altar on top of the wood. Wood is always signifies our humanity. So here's the sacrifice on top of us. In other words, the sacrifice covers us. That'll preach all day. Verse 10, Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. Wow. Wow. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, hey, Abraham. And he goes, here, I'm right here. Here I am. Woo, talk to us, Megan. What had to be going through Abraham and Isaac's minds right here?
You know, a lot of things. And I can assure you that there was and there had to be that humanistic element of fear.
Sure.
Because...
they're human.
That's... Yes. And I've been there... in that type of moment with Grayson.
Yeah.
Because, you know, during that time, it's like the Lord gave me those scriptures about where Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, and he came to the moment right there in front of his son's own two eyes that he lifts the knife to take his life.
Right.
Like, but there's that, the fear between the both of them is that the son, Isaac, trusting his father to know that my dad tells me that I have to be obedient, but what in the world is he getting ready to do? Why do I have to be the sacrifice? Why can't God provide something else?
Do you know, Megan, I forgot that that's what God gave you when Grayson was laying there.
And it's like when I saw your email about the scriptures that we were talking about today, it's like, oh, Lord, praise you, Jesus. You know, it's just that.
Wow.
That, you just.
Six years ago.
6 years ago. That,
right now.
Yeah, that relatable moment. And it's the Lord saw all of the things they were feeling. He sees our true nature, and He sees our heart. He saw my heart. But He knows and He knew that in that moment that they were going to be obedient no matter what the Father was going to ask them to do.
Right.
And that right there, that level of faith, I'm not telling you that you're going to have to kill somebody, because that's just... no. But that level of faith and that level of trust
to
speak
volumes
to people, especially right now.
Yes.
Because no matter what you're going through, God has the ultimate answer. God has the plan. God has control.
Amen.
And He had control over this situation, but He wanted to see the true nature of Abraham and his son is, are you going to be obedient to what I ask you to do?
Wow.
This scripture is so... to me, is so powerful.
It is very powerful.
The nature of God and the nature that, you know, that humans, even though that we have faults, that we still are in of our own decision
that we can show the Lord, yes, Lord, I'm all in. I am all in.
Amen. And I remember talking to you so much during that time period. And you had known, you and Ben had known from the time that you were about 4 to 5 months along. Is that right? That Grayson's lungs were not developing properly?
About 20 weeks.
20 weeks. Okay.
Yep.
Do you want to share that? Because when you got this scripture, you had thought perhaps he was going to be healed right there as soon as he was born, right?
I prayed for that, yes.
Yes.
But I also prayed for the Lord's will to be done.
Right.
Because I know that the Lord has the end result, the Lord has control, and that whatever the circumstance was, that there was something that I was learning out of this situation. But I also had a vision not too long. I had more visions. I had a vision not too long after we had met with that group of doctors that Jesus was standing before me, and he was holding a baby, and Jesus was crying.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that was a relatable moment that Jesus was telling me that, yes, I am taking your son, but I'm hurting too because I have to do this.
Right.
But there was that, there's also that was that relatable moment too, just like probably between Abraham and Isaac, was that he knew that he would see him again.
Yes.
He knew that even in an act of faith and obedience and pure courage, that same thing I went through, that you'll see it, that he would see him again. And it's just that, you know, God can take the oddest circumstances and turn them out for good and to draw you closer to him. And it's just like in this moment between Abraham and Isaac, it's like we need to realize the bond between father and child, and we need to look at that as that being us and God.
Amen.
Like, are we Amen. Willing to lay down everything that we have, every bit about our nature, and completely surrender ourselves to his plan? And that could be, the vision is Abraham standing over you, that's the image of God. It's like, I am all powerful, I am all knowing. Are you willing to lay down and sacrifice yourself for me? You know, sacrifice all of these things, these human nature, this humanistic side of us. Are you willing to lay down and surrender and make a change in your life for me? Like, this scripture could preach in
Boy,
all kinds of different ways.
It Pastor. Sure can.
I didn't mean to ramble. Sorry.
No, you didn't ramble. And the outcome was that Grayson did live 33
yep.
hours.
Yep.
Interesting number, too.
Uh-huh. I know, and I was 33 years old.
And you were 33 years old.
Yeah.
And Jesus was 33 years old when he went to the cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this song, and we're going to talk to Cindy and Megan Moore on the other side. Yes and Amen by Chris Tomlin. I love this song. We've done it a lot through the years.
Curse, blessed Redeemer, you have saved.
Promises are yes and amen. What was the promise here? That God would provide for himself a lamb. That's what he did when he sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for us. Woo! Let's go back and finish up Genesis 22 because it goes so in lockstep with what happened when God sent his son to this earth. In verse 12, God says to Abraham, do not reach out with a knife in your hand against the boy. Do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. Isaac climbed down off of that little place where he was on the wood. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. And here we see that nature, Jehovah Jireh, God providing. And he said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. What Jehovah Jireh means is the Lord will see to it. He'll take care of it. Wow. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about this, Cindy. Then we're going to go to Megan and see how this applies to our daily life.
God provides.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, God provides.
Yes.
And like I was talking earlier, it's not just big things.
Right.
It's, you know, little things. We had a speaker in college that was talking about young family, he and his wife, three young kids, very, very poor, didn't have enough to get by. And the kids wanted a puppy. And they had a roadway close to them that had a ditch. And so one day a puppy appears in the ditch, and they can't find the owner of it. So it's like, oh, well, God gave us a puppy. And then it was, well, we need a house for the puppy. So a couple days later, a lumber truck loses part of its load in the ditch. and they you know, the guy says, oh, just, you know, that stuff right there I can't use. Go ahead and take it. So get lumber for the house. And then, you know, a few days later, somehow a truck carrying pet supplies loses part of its load in the ditch. And
Boy, that was a productive ditch, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Pet toys and food, you know? So
wow.
Just this long string of things that, you know, it wasn't life and death. It wasn't...
But it was basic needs, right?
Exactly. It was, you know, this was, they wanted a puppy and God provided, and the puppy needed a house and he provided, and the puppy needed food and he provided, you know, so...
Well, that brings me... Go ahead.
I think we all have those times in our life when we can point back.
Right.
Right.
To things like that that have happened.
Yes. Talk to us, Megan. That's a great example, Cindy. Thank you.
Pastor, he does provide, because after Grayson passed away, I felt that there was another child to come. And you want to talk about having to have a lot of faith, knowing that the Lord is going to provide another child for you that will be well and be made whole. That, and it's like that song, my confidence is your faithfulness.
Yes, is your faithfulness. And yes.
Yes. And so yes. That's where, in uncertain times,
mm-hmm.
that's where we can gain strength. That's where we can gain confidence.
Amen.
That we can walk around and hold ourselves high. We don't have to walk around without knowing that the victory is coming,
yes.
no matter the circumstance, because there's that faithfulness to know that the Father is going to take care of us. And what he tells you he's going to do, he will do. And
Amen.
It's in the same circumstance with Abraham and Isaac. Look what he didn't do. He didn't have to kill his son
no.
because God provided his own sacrifice, his own son.
And you know, the lamb was provided. Well, Jesus was the lamb and is called the Lamb of God. In fact, when John the Baptist looked up as he saw Jesus approaching the Jordan River, he goes, ah, there he is, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So this had to happen in Genesis, and it had to happen to the man of faith, Abraham, because God knew that Abraham would respond correctly, and it was a type of what was coming. Now, in 1 Kings 17, the second part that we talked about this morning in my sermon, some of you heard it already, we talked about how God provided for Elijah, the prophet, through a widow who had just enough oil and flour to make one final little cake for her and her son before they died. And God said to Elijah, ask her to make you a cake first. You know, I mean, really, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about this morning. You can catch that on my Facebook post from today. Go there, Marcia McAllister or Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you'll find that Facebook post. And we talked about God's provision. This is the first time in the Bible that God calls himself Lord, our provider. Megan, talk to us.
And he is provider of all things we need, shelter, finances, emotional well-being, all of it. Everything that we need to thrive here, he provides.
Amen.
And it doesn't come through other people. It doesn't come through narcotics. It doesn't come through drugs. It doesn't
right.
come through alcohol. It comes through God.
Amen.
And if you, and I always go back to something that Connie said and always says, is that we were born with a God hole in our heart.
Right.
And mm-hmm. all of us. And she's so right, because if you're still out there, or if you hear this radio broadcast and you have tried everything you can possibly think of to fill a void that you've been feeling for many years or your
right.
entire life.
Yes.
The piece you're missing is the provider of all things.
Right.
Your Heavenly Father. The person
Amen.
That put you here on this planet.
Amen.
And he has a plan for your life. He doesn't plan for you to wander around here aimlessly on this
That's
earth,
right. That's
not
right.
knowing what your purpose is or that you even have a purpose.
Right.
I'm telling you, you have a purpose.
Yes.
You have a place in heaven, and you are wanted.
Amen. Amen. Talk to us, Cindy. Good, good stuff. Oh, and by the way, tell them, Megan, what happened to you 1 year later.
I had a little girl named Zoe Grace, and Zoe meaning a God's life.
Yes.
And actually, I wrote her name. I wrote that name down when I was on the radio with you before I even knew I was pregnant.
Right.
I wrote that down in my journal.
Right.
And so, you know, God can lay things on your heart, or God can lay things in your path that you may not need them right now, but you may need them later. So it's important to pay attention.
It was just around a year later after all that happened with Grayson, right?
Yeah, she was born. She was supposed to be born on April the 11th, the day he passed away. But she made her own grand entrance on March the 26th.
Yes.
So she came like 3 weeks before a year was up.
She thought, forget it. I'm coming now. I'm ready to be born.
Yeah, I'm coming out
and,
now.
And she right is now. A pistol and a joy, is she not? And so is Andrew, your oldest son. They're both,
they both are
delightful.
They both are. Andrew is the silent warrior and
yes.
is going to be a mighty man of God. And
right.
then you got Zoe, my little praise worshiper, you know,
yes.
she's just she loves to sing. So they're both a miracle of God.
And when we mm-hmm. all get to heaven, we're gonna mm-hmm. meet Grayson Kramer.
Oh yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Cindy, talk to us. Woo, that's good stuff.
Well,
that'll preach.
I can relate to that somewhat because Shay lost a baby a little over 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that, Cindy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was too early to know if it was a boy or a girl. For some reason, we all think it was a boy.
Okay.
I've just always thought of that baby as a boy. And before we knew what Lily was, I've always thought this one was a girl.
wow. You know,
so... I
think God puts that in your heart. I really do. Go ahead.
Right. Yes, he does. So I have a grandchild in heaven already.
Right.
And, you know, people ask, oh, is this your first one? And it's like, well, no.
Right.
It's my, you know, I have two, but this is, you know, my first one's in heaven.
Actually, my first one's in heaven. Mark and Candy lost their first baby. Remember that, Megan?
Uh-huh.
Several years back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Cindy, go ahead with your point there. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just that I think that it's just the way that, you know, God can bring us together through our shared experiences.
That's right.
You know, it's traumatic whether you lose a child before birth or after, you know. After is really hard because you get to see it and hold it and know if it's a boy or a girl, and you get to name the child. And, you know, it's that's difficult, and it's something I never had to go through with my own kids, but living through it with Shay is just really, you know, I saw the damage that was done.
And, sure, it's very hard.
So, So I think it any situation can give you empathy and understanding of what other people are going through.
Yeah. That's also true. So we are going to wrap up this show today with a song by Terry McCallum, Oh, the Glory of Your Presence. Let's talk about his presence in relation to what we've been talking about today. Megan, without the presence of God, how would you and Ben and the family, mom and dad, everybody gotten through that difficult time, right? Same with you, Cindy, when Shay lost her baby.
Mm-hmm.
We need the presence mm-hmm. of God in our daily lives. We need this. And I want our listeners to see how important it is that we dwell in his presence. Talk to us, Megan, then we'll go to Cindy.
His presence is the reason why I got out of bed 2 days into being home from the hospital from depression. His voice pulled me out.
Amen. I remember. I remember it.
Yes. And that's why we need to be close to him, folks.
Right.
Is because in those hard times that we still are in tune to hearing his voice.
Amen.
Because it was just something so simple as I heard Andrew, who was 4 at the time, and he was in the living room playing, and just clear as day, like he was standing next to me, I need my mom. And then I heard the Lord's voice, rise up, child of mine.
Wow.
You are greater than this.
Wow.
And so those circumstances are the times that when you hit a tough moment, that'll take you back to that time, and you realize, yes, I still hear him. I need him.
Yes.
I will come out of this because, again, my confidence is his faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Cindy?
Well, there's great power in the presence of God, you know.
Amen. Amen.
The power that spoke the world into existence, that raised Christ from the dead, in that place, everything is possible. And
yes,
I think that the people want the power of God without understanding you have to have the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. And that is exactly right. And I'm glad you said that, because that's where we're going next week with the service and the show, is that if you don't practice the presence, you're not going to have the power in prayer that you need. Mm-hmm. And really, we've kind of been saying that today, too, haven't we? Both of us, all of us, I mean, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead with that concept, Cindy, because I think that is vital here. People don't understand that. They think they can just... Mm-hmm. You know, fire off a 3-second prayer. Oh, God, I need you to help me right now, right now, right now. And and he's going, yeah, okay, now where you been?
Right.
You know?
Well, and there are times that he answers, you know.
Oh, he does. Yes, he does.
He can totally answer.
Yes,
those.
He can.
I think it's about consistency and habit. You get in the habit of prayer. You get in the habit of praise, because then when you really, really need it, it's easier because you're already
Amen.
In the habit.
Yes, yes, and that's so important. Yes.
Yeah. So I, if you wait till things are really bad, you know, God still works. God's still there. But it's harder on you. So
exactly.
It's harder for you to muster the faith, the strength that you need. But Abraham was in a habit of trusting God.
Right.
He was in a habit of, you know, he knew that God provided and worked miracles.
Right.
So this wasn't something new to him.
No.
And it's something to habit. You don't have to muster the same amount of energy,
right?
To believe it.
Yeah, because you're already doing it, right? You're spending
right.
time in his presence, and it's just like, have you ever gone to visit a relative that you met once when you were 3 months old, and you've never met that relative again? And so, you know, you're going there, and you really don't know what to talk about, really. I mean, you really haven't been, you know, spending any time together. But, you know, it's your relative. I think a lot of people are kind of like that, Megan. I mean... they just like, this is my who? It's your great. Really? Okay, I'm your great uncle. Oh, okay. How come I never heard about him? Be quiet, be quiet.
Right.
Megan.
Right. Like, it's that you keep that sometimes with certain relatives, you keep that comfortable distance. Like
right.
You know of them, but you know to kind of keep a little bit of space between you. We don't want that with God. We don't want that at all. We need to be walking right beside him.
Woo,
we need that close unity, so that if we kind of make a false move, that he pulls us back over in the right direction,
exactly.
So that we don't fall off the path.
You know, I've done many, many funerals and many, many weddings. I've liked to say I love to marry and bury. But one of the things about funerals is that I'm often called to do a funeral for a relative that I don't know the person at all. I've never met them, perhaps. And it's been my custom through the years, I will sit down with the family members or the people I know and say, tell me about your mom. Tell me everything about your mom. What comes to mind right now when you think of your mom, you know, because I'm trying to get to know that person without having known them, right?
Right.
Okay. With God, he knows everything there is to know about us. He doesn't have to sit down and say, now tell me about yourself. Where you been? What you been doing? You know what I'm saying? Take that, Cindy. We got to get this song in. Let's get this song in, and then we'll let you both give a final. I didn't realize how late it was, and we will give a final word to each of you in just a minute.
And you're here, Lord Jesus. You're here.
Going to go on with that song in just a moment. Talk to us, girls, both of you, because what an amazing show. And I want to give you both a minute here to talk here before we get out of here, because it's coming up very quickly. So talk to me. Cindy, go first.
Well, I would just challenge people by, I'm a skeptic. I'm a natural born skeptic. Even people I trust, I don't take their word for it necessarily. I have to check it out for myself.
Right.
And for the skeptics out there, I challenge you, just give it a shot.
Yes.
You know, try it. Try it for 30 days. You know, pray, listen to praise music, find a good pastor on YouTube, or, you know, tune in to Pastor Marcia, Beacon of Hope. There's tons of good pastors
there
out
are.
There.
Yeah.
Christine Kane, Graham Cook, you know, it's available. Just
right.
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Give it 30 days. And God will prove himself.
And God will. Thank you, Cindy. We love you. We appreciate you so much, Cindy Henderson from Idaho. God bless you. Thank you for your time today. Megan, your turn.
I just want to be of an uplifting spirit to those who are listening, that the Lord has his hand upon your life, and all you need to do is just relinquish the relationship between him and yourself, so that you can, you know, live in the light and live in the blessing.
Yes.
And live in your eternal power. And that I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that to you, Pastor, and to over Cindy and her family and my family and whoever's listening, that we are blessed, that we have a wonderful week, and that we see God's provisions come through in our lives like never before, and that it's a new day. And for especially Amen. For those people that are listening that are having a rough time, it's a new day, and you can turn your life around immediately. It doesn't have to wait. Amen. And don't wait. You don't want to be left behind.
Praise God. Megan Kramer, Cindy Henderson, thank you both so much.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful radio team members. Love you both. Thank you. All right. So our audience, to all of you, whoever you are, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and find out all about the ministry. It's all there. bohmglobal.com, new website in the last few months. Thursday night, our show, 6:06 p.m. with Dr. Angel and I. Check that out right here on tantalknetwork.com, 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night, life coaching show. For those of you that are needing to get closer to God, that's all of us, actually. We just encourage you to spend more time in the Word. Get in the Word. Get into His presence. Get some music and listen. And grow. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Cindy and Megan bringing you the word today. God bless every one of you, and we hope you will tune in again next week at 3 p.m. right here on this station.
FM 106.1. WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.